Enforcer.
I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
After a week off, a nice vacation, 7 days to do nothing, lay on a beach, drink mojitos, we are back to another episode of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. He is the Stallion, I am the Enforcer, and we are coming to you live from the All Night Arena. What do we call this place?
There was a zone involved, I think, at one point.
All Night Zone? All Night Zone? Impact Zone?
No. All Night Asylum.
All Night Ass Zone? Yeah. What's the Ass Zone? No?
I don't think it was the Ass Zone.
No. Damn, it's going to piss me off, too.
Oh, we trademarked it. I'll just check the court system.
Speaking of pissing me off, you know what pissed me off this week? No Neville on Monday Night Raw. It's funny you should say that, Joe. I'm talking to myself now. Listen, no Neville on Monday Night Raw after
Should I leave?
No, I can do this. No, I can't. Listen, we need you here. You're the comic relief. I'm the shit.
So Neville, you were talking
Neville,
about.
Right. Big breaking news this week, aside from Ezekiel Elliott's suspension being upheld. You suck, Goodell. Adrian Neville, go the full name. It's been a while. The man that gravity forgot has apparently given his notice to the WWE, and he is done with the fugaziness, if you will. And rumors circulating the interwebs are that Neville has been unhappy since WrestleMania 33 with the pre-show match?
Yeah, he was on the pre-show against Austin Aries in the Cruiserweight title match, didn't make it to the main show. Actually, I think it was the opening match
on the pre-show. Yes. Yeah. Didn't you have Gronkowski on the second portion of the pre-show?
Yeah, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal also took place on said pre-show.
Apparently...
And Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin also on the pre-show. Sorry, we went off.
They could all stay there, as far as I'm concerned. But according to the reports, that was the straw that not broke the camel's back, but that's the straw that gave the camel arthritis. Kind of was the tipping point. And pretty much also the other thing was that he didn't get any royalties from the event because him and Austin Aries were left off the DVD. You have an Austin Aries Neville match and doesn't even make the DVD. They didn't even do anything on the W Network.
I wonder why they would leave it off the DVD. Like, why would you not put the bonus matches on the DVD? Like, there's three matches that took place, I believe three, on the pre-show. Like, why not include all three on? I don't know why you wouldn't include on the DVD.
I need more Vicky Guerrero pig slop matches and, like, gravy bowl matches and that kind of stuff. Mm. That's what this era is missing. A bunch of lollipops are too soft for the olden days, huh? Get your snowflakes in the back and your lollipops. I'm now only referring to people as lollipops. Thank you, Eddie Kingston. So, Neville was the face of the Cruiserweight division for, what, better part of 6 months? 8 months?
Yeah, I think he... I guess it was before WrestleMania, yeah. So, I guess it was... What was it, the Rumble, maybe, that he won it?
Yeah, so we're looking
so
at...
So most of the year, I would say he was basically, like you said, the focal point of the division.
And did not get any airtime on Raw. No main event push for him. All of a sudden, he drops the title to Enzo Amore, that's a tough pill to swallow. And then Enzo becomes the main event of Raw, 3 weeks running. So I think all that kind of culminated. Thank you. Into Neville just kind of having enough and saying, you know, he wants to go see what he could do elsewhere. The report that I read, I think it was from PW Insider, forgive me if I'm wrong, but they said he wants to kind of go explore the indies and reinvent himself kind of like his buddy Drew Galloway did. How do you feel, being a Neville fan, which I know you are, how do you feel about his decision?
I mean, that's I don't really have any issue with it, to be honest. I mean, I don't know that he... They weren't doing a whole lot with him before the cruiserweight division was kind of re-implemented, right? So
he broke his ankle.
Yeah, they were trying to do something with him. I think he was going to be in like a IC title ladder match at the prior year's WrestleMania, right? And then he was hurt, so he didn't get in. I think that was the one where Zack Ryder was put in. It was supposed to be Neville in that spot.
Oh, yeah, and he woo.
Yeah. He actually went in and won for like a day and then lost title the next night to The Miz. So I think they haven't really done much with him outside of Then they had the Cruiserweight division. They put him in that. They turned him heel. He was pretty much universally praised for his work in the division and working as a heel. And, you know, he had good matches with as many as he possibly could out of the guys that he was paired with. And now that he doesn't have the title anymore, you know, what else is there for him to do, right? Unless he was going to be moved out of the Cruiserweight division, which who knows if that was going to be the case or not.
Or if they make tag team titles.
Yeah, which that would be awful. So, I don't really know. He probably did not have a direction, I'm assuming. Like, that whole show really has little to no direction. There's usually like 2 to 3 feuds going at once at most, right, for the Cruiserweights. And half of those do not get really featured on Monday Night, right? It's usually one, it's only the title feud, and then 205 Live has side feuds. I think like Rich Swann and TJP had a feud going, and Drew Gulak has his no-fly zone business that he's got. So that type of stuff. So he probably didn't have a direction, and he was scheduled, I guess, the rumor was that he was scheduled to lose on Raw again to Enzo was the original plan. And then whether he walked out or he wasn't there and hadn't been with the company and he wanted out of his contract, they changed it to Kalisto, and then that went from there. So, you know, if he wants to leave and do his own thing, then, you know, that's perfectly fine with me. I have no problem. I mean, I don't know what his life is like outside the business. If he has a family and stuff he needs to support, and if he can go earn a living working on independent shows and in England and, you know, whatever these other... You know, PWG and ROH and whatever it is he's got going on, then, you know, good on him. If he's not happy with what he's doing, then he should go.
Neville, 2018 Best of Super Juniors. Come on. It writes itself. I know Will Ospreay is already begging for a match with Neville. Ricochet was doing the same thing. I mean, the WWE's loss, it's... What did CM Punk say? In the promo, another spoke on the wheel, pretty much. The WWE is going to make money hand over fist despite itself. And that's what's going to happen. Neville's not going to be a big loss to the WWE. He's not. I love Neville. I think he's one of the best wrestlers they had, but it's not like he was main eventing. It's not like, I don't want to use an insider term, not like he was drawing the house, you know? The only people losing here really are the fans, because we're not going to see him. But he wasn't really able to have great matches anyway, because he had 90-second to 120-second time limit matches. I mean, so I think there's a bright future out there for Neville. You know, there's guys like Ricochet. There's guys like Will Ospreay. There's guys like Ibushi. There's a lot for him to do. I'm sure he can go anywhere. He's worked, all over the world as it is, so... I don't know if he's ever been in New Japan, though. I knew he worked for Dragon Gate. I feel like
he's worked in New Japan. Now I'm going to look it up. Yeah, I don't know if he's worked in New Japan. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure he would probably have more fun and enjoy his matches on the independent scene if he's wrestling some of the guys that you noted, and, you know, in front of fans that are maybe more appreciative of his style and his efforts. And I'm sure, you know, these guys that have some level of a name from WWE that go out onto the indies usually start out in somewhat of a, you know, they're somewhat of a big deal, I guess, just because they came from there and now they're out on the indies, right? So everyone knows what Cody Rhodes has been doing. You know, he was only really there, right? And then he left there to do all these independent shows and ROH and all that stuff. And he got a big reaction when he first left, and then other guys, you know, that leave also, right? I mean, when Ryback left, he was kind of a, a hot item, I guess, so to speak, in some of these indie shows he would show up at, and I think Wade Barrett and Jack Swagger, and some of these guys that are kind of the mid-card, lower-card guys in WWE, they go out on the indies, and they're kind of a name, and then they become, somewhat of a featured or coveted person to have on shows. So I'm sure he'll get that treatment if in fact he has left the company and he'll be able to compete in, you know, 60, 90 days or whatever it is.
Coincidentally, he could have a real match with Austin Aries, because both of those guys have left the WWE since. I actually just read that Austin Aries is going to be wrestling Ricochet. I think it was in New Zealand. I'm not sure. But, I mean, these are dream matches. And Pac's not getting any younger. Neville's not getting any younger. And Austin Aries also, you know, he's got to be, what, 35, 36, Aries?
I think so.
He's right around that, you know, right around that age. So these guys, you know, I hope they've made their money in the WWE. And in Aries' case, TNA. So I hope they can go out and just, you know, enjoy their matches. Listen, because in 10 years... if Neville wants to go back to WWE, he could still work a WWE-style match in 10 years. You know, it's not a very fast-paced match. But for right now, if he wants to go out there and kill it wherever he decides to go, whether it be, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, that would be a shot in the arm to Ring of Honor. I said the other day, I was like, if I was Ring of Honor, I would throw buckets of money at Neville. And you responded with, does Ring of Honor have buckets of money? That's a good question. Well, they have enough to sign Cody Rhodes for the foreseeable future, so.
Yeah, I don't know what their situation is financially. I read something the other day that indicated that they don't. That, like, for Sinclair, it's like they take a loss on it. Like, I think that's my understanding of what. I don't know how accurate that is, or where I might have been, like, a Meltzer thing or something that I read, but I think that's what I had heard. That they were in danger of, you know, I guess going under at one point, and then Sinclair bought it, years back. You know, they gave it that more of a wider distribution on television, and. You know, I think they said they take a loss on it. I don't know how much of a loss or how significant it is. I'm sure they wouldn't be consistently in the red year after year after year, and it wouldn't keep it going if it was right. That bad. So
I don't care how much you love wrestling. Business is business.
Unless you're Dixie Carter.
Why would you bring up Dixie Carter?
Well, she loved wrestling. She loved being on the show and basically bankrupted whatever.
She was a mark for herself, though.
Sure.
Yeah. Speaking of people out of free agents... Jimmy Jacobs, former Ring of Honor superstar, now former WWE writer, Jimmy Jacobs has lost his job with the WWE over a picture that he tweeted or he posted on Instagram of him and the Bullet Club from the Invasion 2 weeks ago on Raw. What are your thoughts on the WWE firing Jimmy Jacobs over this?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, the first thing I read was... It was the final straw or something for him. So that leads me to believe that there were other issues going on where maybe they weren't, where they had soured on him in the company. Well, I don't know what those are or if that's the case. Would they fire a guy solely because he took a picture with them? I don't know that they. I mean, if they did, then he couldn't have been that valuable or important of a person in terms of what they were doing. To just be like, you know what, this guy did this, we don't really need him, let's get rid of him. Like, if they thought so highly of him as a creative guy or writer or whatever it was that he was doing, they wouldn't do that. You know, if Road Dogg had taken a picture with the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll and Adam Page, do you think they would have fired him a week later?
Is he or is he not banging Triple H the way he is now?
I don't know what you mean. He's the head writer or one of the head writers on the SmackDown brand. So I guess my thing, I don't think they would have done that with him, right? If he would have done that, they would not have fired him for doing that. I think if they may have been unhappy, he may have been punished, demoted, fined, something like that. Would they have fired Road Dogg? Probably not. Jimmy Jacobs? I'm not sure what his ties are to the company or how he got in the first place. I know he's friends with Kevin Owens and thing guys like that. I don't know if that was his connection to get in, but he probably doesn't have a lot of. There's probably not a lot of loyalty towards him there. So because of that, they see something like this and they're like, I guess they were annoyed at the whole invasion thing. I don't know what the whole deal with that whole stuff is with the cease and desist and all these things going on in that area. So.
Speaking of the cease and desist, did you hear what Meltzer said this week about the video game?
Yes, they had asked them to do like the motion capturing
the day after they gave them the cease and desist because the Young Bucks moveset was downloaded more than anybody's last year in the video game or something. So, man, it's such a wild world. Like, it really, pro wrestling is truly like nothing else. I mean, you know, one day you give a guy a cease and desist, and the next day you're, you know, offering them money. So, that being said, I mean, if Jimmy Jacobs leaves and he's gone, so now you've lost Jimmy Jacobs, you've lost Neville, back to back weeks. How quickly until they're the new members of the Bullet Club? That's my question. Jimmy Jacobs does have a pretty badass shirt that came out that says unprofessional, and it's a picture of him with the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll. So prowrestlingtees.com/Jimmy Jacobs, he's giving me some money, right? He'll definitely,
there might be a different Jimmy Jacobs. I don't know if it's this one.
Is he the one from Canarsie?
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, it's definitely not him.
Okay,
it's definitely not him. You know what? Let's go. There was a lot of wrestling this week, but I want to talk about this new segment, Swerve of the Week. This week's Swerve of the Week, Sami Zayn turning heel. That's a big congratulations to Sami Zayn, because man, did he need that. The main event of Hell in a Cell. That was it, right?
Yep.
Nice. I've been saying No Mercy for like a week. Main event of Hell in a Cell last Sunday. Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon in a 40-minute Terry Funk Ric Flair classic. I'm just kidding. It was just, they beat the hell out of each other, and it was a really good match for what it was. Shane almost dying several times, but the meat and potatoes of it was Shane goes up to the top of the cell to drop the elbow like he always does, and out of nowhere, Sami Zayn saves Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens didn't see it coming. Afterwards, Sami Zayn lays Kevin Owens on top of Shane McMahon. So Owens beats McMahon 1-2-3, and we have a new faction, a new heel stable in the looks like forming. And Sami Zayn cut a really good promo on SmackDown. Did you see a SmackDown promo?
I did.
What'd you think of it?
I mean, I thought it was good for what it was.
Okay. Okay.
I thought he explained himself well enough. At least it made sense.
Yeah.
That's really all I ask, I guess, with those types of things.
I was kind of worried because Sami Zayn, not really known to be a talker. He was the masked luchador known as El Generico. He did not have to talk. So coming to WWE, talking was not going to be his strong suit. And I thought this is probably the best promo that I've ever seen him cut. I thought, because they gave him more than 30 seconds, but, you know, his delivery was good. It, like you said, it made sense from a point of view of why he did it. And do you think this is going to lead to an eventual match between the two again?
Between what, Owens
and Zayn? Owens and Zayn, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to split up eventually again. I mean, I don't know. The only thing I read in the short term was that they were talking about it maybe setting up Owens and Zayn against Shane and AJ Styles. I don't know.
Oh, come on!
What's the matter with
bullshit?
That?
Are you serious?
I read that. I mean, I don't know what's true or not.
Why does Shane need to wrestle?
Well, where else would it be going?
Anywhere but Shane McMahon.
He turned, right, and cost Shane the match and almost basically caused him to, you know,
die.
Kill himself.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that the first step in the program is going to be, you know, Shane's probably going to be off TV for a little bit.
Good.
He's selling the injuries from the fall. And then maybe they'll, you know, do a tag match. Styles is probably moving away from Corbin, it seems like. So that's probably going to be over soon, if it's not over already. And he's going to need something to do. Now, people have speculated that he should go up and fight Jinder Mahal, because now he's no longer a champion and Mahal needs a new opponent. I don't really know what to do with all that, so
I don't even know what's going on with the main event picture. I mean, I'm sorry, with the title picture, but
yeah, I think Cena is supposed to be back, I don't know, later this year. You know, I don't really know what the situation is. I guess it seems like they're more booking around things that are not the weekly TV show anymore. Like, they want to have the title on Jinder Mahal for when they tour India.
In December, right?
So, yeah, so they're just going to leave it there, or if he drops it, he'll win it right back or something. Like, that was,
I thought he was going to drop it to Nakamura.
Yeah, I think some people thought that would happen because, you know, I think at one point the advertising for the India tour said two-time WWE champion Jinder Mahal, so there was like some thought that he would have dropped it and won it back. That hasn't happened yet.
That was probably just a error in translation. I have trouble too a lot.
Okay.
With the translation.
Sure. Yeah, so. A lot of people do. I think that's fair.
Speaking of, we'd like to say hello. Never mind. What was the name of the the arms? What was it?
The arms.
The holiday.
This is borderline racist, I feel like. You're talking about the holiday of Diwali for the Indian, the Hindu culture. Yeah, they're celebrating that at my company next, 2 weeks out, I think.
I'm pumped.
No, you should be. There's a lot of good food. It's a culture, it's a lot of, it's a themed event. There's decorations. I don't know. This is a shoot. I don't know why you're laughing. This is exactly, I was a part of this last year, and this year, they're doing it again. Diwali.
How did you participate?
How did I participate? I ate some of the food that they had. That was it. That was my participation.
I'm sorry, you ate the food?
Some of the food.
Like what?
There was a rice dish that I ate.
It was a dish of rice.
Well, it wasn't in a dish. It was when I say dish, I mean, like somebody made rice, whatever.
So everybody from your company makes food for this?
No, I think the folks from our...
The Diwalians?
That's not a thing. That's made up. The folks that celebrate the Diwali made food, and then we ate it during the business time. You know what? Can we get back to the wrestling, please?
As we were saying in regards to the main event title picture, now you have a guy like Nakamura who just lost back-to-back to Jinder, and this one was relatively clean. There was a little bit of the outside chicanery, but for the most part, Nakamura hit the post, and then Jinder hit the
Coloss. Is that what the finish was called?
Yeah, he hit the Coloss, and that was it. 1-2-3, and now you have... What do you do with Nakamura? Does he just hang out? Why did my voice get so high?
It sounds like you're concerned.
Nakamura. Yeah. do you, he's out of, I don't want to say he's out of the title picture, but you saw him get a win over Aiden English in a tag match on SmackDown the next night, or two nights after. Him and Randy Orton versus Aiden English and Rusev. That's a rough fall from grace. You're wrestling, Jinder Mahal for the title, and you're wrestling Aiden English. I don't know. I mean, I think everybody thought the money was on Nakamura to win, but maybe he goes after Baron Corbin. I don't know.
Maybe. I could see that. I mean, I don't know what they're doing with some of these secondary feuds. If this Orton-Rusev program is going to continue, if that's going to end, then maybe where you could switch it up with guys in that. You could have Nakamura against Rusev. You could have Nakamura against Corbin. You can have Orton against Corbin. I don't know. Owens and Zayn are now heels. If Shane is not around, they're going to need a program. So you could do Nakamura and Owens, or Orton and Owens. You can do things like that.
Nakamura and Zayn would be good because they wrestled once or twice. They wrestled on NXT.
They wrestled on NXT. I don't remember.
They wrestled on SmackDown at some point.
They might have. I'd have to go back and look into that. I don't remember.
That would be an interesting program too, but. There's a lot of really good booking on SmackDown. There's a lot of really questionable booking. Like, personally, I love what the Usos are doing. Big fan of the Usos now. We got to talk about the Gable and Shelton Benjamin. I mean, this is... it's almost like Gable doesn't know that his partner changed. It's like all the same moves. Everything's... the same. They're a carbon copy of the world's greatest tag team. I don't know. It's like Gable has no identity. He's like the guy that when you play WWE 2K17 and they give you the guy to mold. That's Chad Gable. I like Chad Gable. I think he's good in the ring. But man, he's just he just leeches on to whatever his partner's about, huh?
I don't know, man. He was then they pretty much told him, right, if I remember correctly, like Daniel Bryan basically said, oh yeah, by the way, we signed Shelton Benjamin and he's going to be your new tag partner. That's pretty much how I think
right, that's how.
I don't know that he had much of a choice. It sounded like he was like, this is going to be your tag team partner. I just assumed when they did that Benjamin was going to turn on him at some point and then he would have a singles feud that way because they should probably start going down the path of using Gable as a singles performer. But they've stayed together as a team for a little while, and if I'm not mistaken, they won a tag title shot on SmackDown this past
week. And they have matching trunks. That's really the most important part. Once you get trunks that match, you're in for the long haul.
That's right.
We have matching All Night Long Wrestling Podcast t-shirts.
We do.
But as far as them being in a singles, how much do you think Gable weighs?
220.
You think he weighs that much?
I don't know. I mean, do you know what his build weight is?
No, I want to take a look at it because I'm wondering if you know if he could be a 205 guy.
No, well, I hope not.
Well, it would give him. I don't know. I like Chad Gable a lot, but I just feel like he's a carbon copy of. I don't know. It just seems like they really don't know what to do with him, and he seems like a great tag team wrestler. But when he had a couple of really good singles matches, right?
He did.
He had who did he wrestle? He wrestled Owens.
He wrestled Owen once. He wrestled Styles once. I forget who else he may have had some matches against on SmackDown that were pretty, you know, good to above average. Rusev, I think.
Yep, wrestled Rusev. If this would let me, he's billed at 5'8", 202.
5'8", 202.
Okay. And that's what he's billed at. So he's probably even smaller. So, I mean, he could definitely be a 205 live guy at that point.
Good.
If Tony Nese can make 205 live,
and kiss his career goodbye.
Yeah, he's like 242 live.
You know who else is a 205 live guy? Aleister Black.
Aleister, I
think he weighs 205.
Aleister, isn't he like 6'5"?
There was a point where he was billed at 205 pounds.
Really?
I don't know if that's what he's billed at any longer, but he was at one point billed as 205 pounds because they suspected that he was going to show up on 205 Live at some point, and that's why they were doing that.
Aleister Black is billed 6'205". I thought he was way taller than 6'0".
You would think by looking at him. In fact, my friend, you're looking at a future Cruiserweight champion, Aleister Black.
What year do you think he debuted?
Ever?
Yeah.
How old is he? 30?
32.
So he probably debuted in like 04 or something?
02.
02.
That makes him... He debuted when he was 16.
Yeah.
God, he's so good. I don't believe he's 6 foot. He's at least... He stands almost eye to eye with Chris Hero. Damn these cameras. You think they could make me pretty?
I don't know how to answer that.
You could just say no. Nobody else does. So, I really kind of thought Breezango was going to be getting the title shot, though. Speaking of SmackDown.
I thought a lot of people did.
I thought that was the money. What do you think about the Brothers of the Bulge, right?
What? The Bludgeon Brothers, is that what it's called? Something like
yeah,
that?
The Brothers of the Bulge in the Crotch. Crotch Bulges. Bulge Crotch. Big old bulge. What do you think about their repackaging of Harper and Rowan?
I don't know, man. I mean, these guys are just like. I mean, it's good. I like those. I mean, I like Harper. I don't know how good of a worker Rowan is, but I mean, I like Harper. If they're, I'm all for altering guys' gimmicks and repackaging them. They don't seem to do enough of that these days, in my opinion. They used to do it all the time back in like the 80s and 90s. And even like the 2000s early, where like when Russo was in there, like they would take guys that they had and maybe weren't working under a certain gimmick and change it into something else. And now I don't feel like they do that as much anymore. So I'm all for if they have Harper and Rowan on the roster and they think that they are guys that they can do something with and they give them a different gimmick to see if it'll work as a tag team, I'm all for it then. I'll give it a try. If it's stupid or it doesn't work out, then split them up or release one of them or whatever it is, that's fine. And that's one of the things about the business, or at least WWE, that bothers me more now than it did when we were younger. Guys were not in the company for like 15-20 years. Like, they have guys that are there that they don't even like do anything with, and they're there. Like
Kane, Big Show, Mark Henry.
Yeah, like all those guys are there so long. You got to recycle guys in and out, or at least have them change their gimmicks, because otherwise it's just ridiculously stale.
Drew Galloway is a perfect example of that. A guy that left, kind of found himself, found what worked for him, and came back.
Yeah, there's just, you know, when you have a guy under contract for a while, you have to like just tweak or alter him. You know, and that's, I think Jericho talks about that all the time, right? Because he's had to like change himself several times over the course of his career to stay fresh. So people are staying to him. If he would have been doing like the Y2J act for 20 years, people would be tired of it by now, right? So, and that's So that's what you have to do. And like, if you can't do it on your own, then they have to do it for you. And if they can't do it for you and you get over, then you need to leave. Right. And that's the same thing. Like people talk about it all the time. I think with, you know, Randy Orton is a guy that I think is pretty stale, right? They had something going with him a little bit with the whole Wyatt family angle.
Sorry to interrupt you. That was the most memorable thing for me that Randy Orton's done since he was like, since he punted somebody in the head, like the Legend Killer thing.
Yeah.
That's 10 years.
So that's the thing. Like, you have to be able to do it with some of these guys. Otherwise, they're not going to be people that... They're not going to be people... Like, people aren't going to want to tune in to watch them if you're not interesting. So I guess the point is, these guys... Harper wasn't doing anything. Rowan wasn't doing anything. They were in and out of the Wyatt family for like 3 or 4 years. They want to repackage them as a tag team and give them a different kind of gimmick. Go for it, and we'll see what happens.
Can't wait for the Bullet Brothers. I'm with you 100%, though. It's something different, although it looks like they kind of just moved Bray out of the way and cut the same promo that Bray did on Monday, on Tuesday night. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and I hope that they do something cool with them. But it's most reminiscent of Victor and Connor, the Ascension, and we know how well that worked out. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I like Harper. I like Rowan. I hope for good things. I hope it's something new. Speaking of something new, we would like to welcome you into everybody's favorite segment, and that is Two Idiots Talking Sports.
You're watching Channel 4 News with 5-time Emmy Award-winning anchor Ron Burgundy and Tits McGee.
Fish tacos are the tits.
Tits! Show us your tits!
Every week, that does not cease to amaze me. I love Ron Burgundy. So there was quite the... Actually, we'll just talk what's happening right now. Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension. Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension has been reinstated by the NFL, and the NFL says his suspension will start immediately. He has 10 days to appeal it, and... We'll go from there. I don't know. I don't know anymore what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott.
Is this about the national anthem again?
No. It's not about the national anthem.
Oh, okay. That, I have no idea what we're talking about.
Ezekiel Elliott has mentioned.
I know, I saw.
Oh, the national anthem? I feel like people might be taking a knee during our show. What do you think?
You know, I don't know what to say about that anymore. It's ridiculous. I don't want to. I don't even know. Like, I feel like they've lost sight of what they're even protesting at this stage of the game. Like, what's even happening?
I'm gonna say this right now, and I don't care how it sounds. Rishard Matthews says if he is forced to stand for the national anthem, he'll quit football.
Yeah, I heard that. Good for him. What is he gonna do instead?
Here's my thing.
CFL.
here's my whole thing about this. You still. Regardless of what you do, you still work for somebody. Do you know how much shit I want to do during the day that I'm not allowed to do? But if I want to have a job, I can't do it. That's at the end of the day, you are paid for a job and you do that job. Nobody is saying you cannot do anything on your own time or hell, you could fucking arrange a dog fight, an interstate dog fighting and still be welcome back in the NFL. Nobody's saying, for better or for worse, and I'd like to run over Michael Vick with a pickup truck, but nobody's saying you have to. All you have to do is what's asked of you in your job, within the confines of your job. On that football field, that's where you work, right? Well, so if somebody came to you tomorrow, tomorrow's Friday, right? Somebody comes to you tomorrow, Joe, and they say, you know what, man? Do what you want to do at work. Anything you want to do today. No repercussions. What are you going to do?
I'd probably watch that on WWE Network at my desk all day. Yeah. Probably.
Sweet.
But order a pizza, maybe, for myself.
Order a pizza, large cherry Coke. You know, I haven't had cherry Coke in years.
There you go. That's awesome. The good stuff.
Oh, that's a real good... That's like that scissorp. Yeah. Sipping scissorp. But, I don't know. Are you? What do you think about this whole anthem thing? Are you kneeing? Are you standing? What are you doing?
I don't watch football. I had a conversation with my friend the other day. We were talking about ESPN, SportsCenter, and Jemele Hill, right? The whole thing with Jemele
Hill. Oh, yeah. Right.
So we, and long and short of it was, we came to the conclusion and, you know, the agreement, right? We We don't watch SportsCenter or the highlight shows to hear people talking about their political views and their opinions on stuff like that. I watch shows like that so I can get the highlights and I can listen to whatever the news stories are going on for that day. All right. I watch the NFL because I like sports. You know, I like the game and I play fantasy football and I may have wagers in offshore from America. So that's why I watch football. I don't watch football to hear about people's political views or things like that. You want to talk about that on shows? That's fine.
Where would you find those shows, Joe?
CNN,
yeah. Fox, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, or even if you want to talk about it on the pregame show and do a story about it, that's fine. And then people who want to tune in to watch it can watch it, and people who don't, don't. But when I'm watching the game, I want to hear about the game. I don't want to see them play the national anthem and have the announcers tell me and point out to me all the guys that kneeled and the ones that stood. Like, I don't, that's not why I'm watching. So they're more than within their right to do whatever they want to do. I just don't want to hear about it when I'm watching the game.
That's fair.
That's all. Like that's what I'm. That's my where I'm at with it.
You gotta watch the game. You're not there to watch. You know, Today in America. You know.
Yeah, it's not. That's not what I want to see or hear about during the course of any football game. I want to just hear about the teams, what's going on around the league, the standings, right?
That people injuries. That I want to hear
injuries, good performances, bad performances. You know, again, that all factors into fantasy football as well for those who play it. That's what I care about.
Well. I'm glad you got that out of your system. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't even think this week there was much in terms of this whole kneeling business. I think it was a passing fad as usual. You know what you really should do? To get your point across, and I learned this, you should go on the BET Awards show and cut a freestyle. Rumor has it that's how you really drive home your point these days. Speaking of driving home points, Carolina just put up 7 over Philadelphia. I hope that was funches.
We'll find out for you in a second here, buddy. So what do you want to do this week? You want to go first? You want me to go first in the picks?
I want to see who scored this touchdown, and then I'm going to get right back to you. I hope it was Benjamin or funches. I have 2 different leagues.
Oh, boy.
Oh God. Cam did a... Cam, neither?
Yeah, it was a Cam Newton
come rushing, on!
Rushing touchdown.
You selfish bastard.
If I'm not mistaken.
Way to go, Cam. There's fantasy. Anyway. All right. So, well, let's recap last week. We'll go over where we were on our picks here.
Okay, we didn't make any picks last week, so...
You know I meant 2 weeks ago, obviously. You know what I meant, Joe.
We both went 2-1.
The reason I'm saying that is because right now, because we missed last week, we are 8-4 and 8-4 down the middle. Right down the middle, Daddy, like Fonzie. I am going to... I'm
very surprised that we're both 8-4, by the way. I don't know how... That I know for me that won't stay that way.
No, I'm about
finishing
to,
above 500.
I'm about to nosedive right now. So, taking a look here at the card. That's nice.
the card for this Sunday.
I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna start taking the Packers giving up 3.5 at Minnesota. I saw what Aaron Rodgers did to me last week and the Cowboys, and it still hurts, man. It was a rough one. It was a rough loss, but giving Aaron Rodgers 1:13 is kind of like giving any other team 6 quarters, and it just sucks. But go ahead.
I'm gonna go with my heart.
You going?
Not my head.
Giants.
I'm taking the Broncos -12. That's what I'm
going. Taking the Broncos, and you know as well as I do, based on Giants lore, this will be the game where the Giants upset and they win like 24-21 with it.
It's Sunday night. It's in Denver. I don't have to go over all the injuries and things that have been going on with the Giants this week. They're down several players on both offense and defense.
Including Eric Flowers, who's not an actual player.
I don't see how they score points in this game. And I don't see how they're going to stop the Broncos consistently for 60 minutes on the road at night in Denver. So I'm going to say Broncos laying the 12. Two touchdown victory should not be out of range for them in this game.
I'm going to quick little side note here. I heard some scuttlebutt of the Jaguars having interest in Eli Manning this season.
I don't know if that's coming from them or if it's people suggesting it. I don't know. this berserk's behind that. I mean, I've read that a couple of different places. Where
okay, so it wasn't just I read. I saw that on ESPN. I wasn't sure if it was real.
Yeah, I think people were suggesting it because they seem to have a good defense now. At least that's how it appears. And their quarterback picked off
Big Ben 5 times.
Yeah, and their quarterback is awful. Right, Bortles is terrible. So I think people are saying like, well, if they actually had a decent quarterback with a good defense and some weapons on offense, they have Fournette. I'm saying the things that they already have.
Right.
They have a good defense. They have some weapons on offense. They have Fournette. They have Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, a couple of guys that can receive.
Yeah, Allen Robinson, he's hurt, but you still have a good wide receiver.
Right, and so if you put Eli in there instead of Bortles, how much would that make them a contender? And then, you know, Coughlin is the head of, you know, football operations there now, so there's that tie-in. I think that's where that's
coming from.
So I think that's where that all shakes out. So I don't know if that will ever happen this season or not. But
if you're going to get rid of Eli, this season would be the season to do it, so the salary cap doesn't hurt them, right? They could draft whoever they want.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I have to see how high of a pick that the Giants wind up with, if they're like a top five pick, which I would guess that they will be. And then if they do and they take a quarterback there, you know, what are you doing with Eli, right? Are you just going to let the new quarterback start? Or are you going to ship Eli out of town? Would you let him sit another year?
I would probably like, let the kid sit. It would be personal preference.
So they'll have to decide what they want to do with that. I don't know.
Next up, I'm taking the Chiefs -4 at home over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Ben, I think his best football is behind him. I think he'll be the first to tell you that. After the game last week, he said he doesn't know if he still has it. A football player with no confidence is not a good football player, and that's where Big Ben is. And the Kansas City Chiefs are unstoppable. I don't care if Travis Kelce plays or not. Actually, I do care if he doesn't play because I'm playing against him in my big money league. So even without Travis Kelce, you still have Tyreek Hill, and you still have Kareem Hunt, and Alex Smith is not making mistakes, and they've got good defense, and they're at home. KC wins probably by 10.
That's a good pick. I'll take the Jaguars this week, too. I mean, we were just talking about them a little bit, but they're home against the Rams, -2.5. Their defense seems pretty solid. You referenced they picked off Ben Roethlisberger 5 times last week. They won at Pittsburgh with Blake Bortles as your quarterback. Now, they did lose at the Jets a couple weeks ago, but that was coming off the game in London, right? So they won the game in London. They destroyed Baltimore in London. They came back, no bye week, went to New York. That's a tough spot, so they lost that game. Then they went to Pittsburgh, and they won. So I think coming home against the Rams, got shut down last week by Seattle at home. I think they only put up about 10 points, 10 or 13 points. So I think Jacksonville's defense at home on Sunday afternoon, I think they'll beat the Rams by a field goal at least.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions in the upset over the New Orleans Saints. Detroit Lions getting 4.5. You're in New Orleans. You're at the Dome. Matthew Stafford has not chucked the ball downfield like he has in years past. I don't know if it's because they have the two-back set and they get, you know, he gets to who's their pass-catching running back? Amir Abdullah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Amir Abdullah's getting the ball, but he doesn't have to throw the ball downfield like he was. So I think with a smart game plan here, I really think that the Lions can pick up one over the Saints, who are very, very hit and miss. And I don't even know. They'll cover the spread. I don't pick up a win. I'm wishful thinking, but they'll cover the spread of 4.5.
Oh, boy.
It's a tough week.
Part of me wants to go with the Chiefs, but I'm going to stay away from that. I'm interested in the Tampa Bay game at Arizona. They're -2.5. I don't know if I trust Jameis.
So famous Jameis, bro.
I'm going to go a little nutty.
Hold on. Oh, God. What are you doing? He's taking the Jets.
I'm taking the Jets.
He's taking the Jets! He's so money.
Plus a 9.5 at home.
Josh McCown. He's going to tap dance all over Tom Brady's snowflake ass.
I'm with it. I'm with the Jets this week, man. I don't know if they're going to win the game outright, but it just feels a little strange, right?
Yo, it's something.
Patriots are a little bit vulnerable. Brady's a little banged up. Their defense is not what it was. Jets are on a little bit of a roll. They're not a good team. They're not a great team, but they've won 3 games in a row. They're home. They often play New England tough at home. This is probably as into a game as their fans will be this whole season. I think, especially at the stadium.
They're tied for first. Both teams are tied for first.
They're both 3-2, so it's for first. I don't know that I would pick an outright Jets win. I think that might be a little bit crazy. But could I see them hanging in to the end and maybe losing by a field goal or a touchdown?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that they will.
I could also see Brady going 35 for 40, 425 yards and 4 picks, but I'm with you. But isn't this typical Brady where it's like he shows like a vulnerability, he's got an injury or something, and then he comes out and he has a game of the season?
So yes, that's usually how it goes.
But no, you're right. God, let's go Jets. Yellow, purple, green, and white. The Jets are going to win tonight. Man, I love football season. It's this is.
I'm going to save this one for next week, right?
Yeah, let's save it for next week. We're going to wrap up this episode of Two Idiots Talking Sports, or as we like to call it, TITS. That being said, we do want to remind you, as always, the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast is brought to you by the Damage 365 Radio Network.
This is former WWE superstar Damian Sandow, now known as Aaron Stevens, and you're listening to Damage 365 Radio. Keep it tuned. You're welcome.
We'd also like to remind you, you can find us at facebook.com/allnightlongwp, on Twitter, on Instagram, @allnightlongwp. And if the people are listening, Joe, where can they find us this weekend?
Evolve Pro Wrestling?
Ellipses question mark? Yes, Evolve Pro Wrestling, Saturday night at La Boom.
Why you question my...
And in Woodside, New York.
Grammar.
Matt Riddle versus Keith Lee in a... Last Man Standing match, main event. Jock is on the card. Tracy Williams, Chris Dickinson, Evolve. You know, Evolve has released some interesting promos about this show called Everything Evolves to Dust. Have you seen these?
I have. I've gotten emails.
Yeah, so have I. I thought somebody got hacked. I thought it was going to be another Gabe Sapolsky, insider letter that was hacked. But I don't know. It's interesting. I wonder if this is going to be the end of Evolve. Is that what's happening?
I think they announced shows for WrestleMania weekend.
It's WrestleMania weekend, though. It's different. No, you're right. But so what's evolving to dust? I really don't get it.
I don't know. I think we'll find out a little bit on Saturday.
I'm looking for... You know what I love about the Evolve show?
Six o'clock start.
This is how pathetic I am. It's a 6 o'clock start, and the show's going to be over before 9. I'll be home by 10:30. Like, that's what I need.
I'm looking forward to that already, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like... So kudos to... And we've gone to several Evolve shows, aside from the one where they put up the cage... Everything is clear. Everything is concise. There's no BS between matches. Match, 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 match. It's over. It's done. You got a good show. You get 2 hours. You get 2 hours and 50 minutes. And you're not sitting there the whole night. So kudos to Evolve. I'm looking forward to the show. We'll have a full, if there's any battery left, maybe we could do like a little post game with, I'm not going to say any of the wrestlers' names because God knows they're not going to want to do it. But, we'll see what happens on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the show.
Yeah, it'd be good.
That's it for another week of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your host. He is the Stallion. I am the Enforcer. And we are tapping out.